Hello.
Good morning, Mr. President.
All right. Well, I was just taking a look at the morning papers, and I probably couldn't believe my eyes where the Washington Post has some sort of a headline says, Nixon big winner in Maryland.
Maryland. Well, that's the poll that I mentioned to you last night that they commissioned with Hart, and that I had the results of yesterday when I said...
But I thought it was Michigan you were referring to.
No. The poll that I had was...
Hart, I guess some way you, when you said Hart, I had Michigan
that's right.
in mind.
That's
Senator,
right.
Yeah.
But it, well, it's a really kind of a similar thing in Michigan, according to the Yankelovich report. And the, also the report that DMI did up, I think it's DMI that did in Michigan, both states, the conclusion is pretty clear that most of those are Nixon voters. And
At this point,
I must have killed Haynes Johnson to write that piece in the Post this morning because he's a dedicated left winger. But
sure,
Jesus, what he said really there is that four out of five of those who voted for Wallace are going to vote for Nixon in November. And I don't know whether I couldn't figure out from that or from their data whether it meant whether.
They were trying to do us in with their readership by saying Wallace people are Nixon people. Nixon, Wallace is a racist, ergo Nixon is a racist. That's really, you see, they're too subtle, though.
They're much too subtle because people reading, also, that, well, of course, they make the point in there that for the first time, sophisticated suburbanites are voting for Wallace and not just rural country folk. You know, this is I was just talking with John Mitchell a little while ago. This is the kind of thing we've got to really get into our next round of polling in great depth.
And
what
right.
is, that is, what is the real...
Well, particularly in view of the fact that, you know, you do have some people around. I mean, Don Rumsfeld, and, to a certain extent, Bob Finch, and certainly Ed Harper and the domestic council staff who've said that busing's not an issue.
Yeah, I just I sent a note to Haldeman last night, which he may want to show you on the trip if you get a few free minutes at some point for yeah. domestic politics, saying I hope this puts to rest finally the last vestiges of those guys who say this issue doesn't cut. God, this is a
cut. In the states in which it matters, it is critical.
Well, it could
decisive.
Could be the kind of an issue.
And also, we're on the right side of it if we just want to get more right out of it.
Well, we all we need to do really, I think, is make our position a little clearer than it is. Now, what the
right.
what the conferees did, God, that's a classic story that I just mentioned it to you last
yeah.
night. But you know, they worked all night until dawn, the night before last, in order to turn out some sort of a busing moratorium. I'm sure that they were watching those results come in from Michigan and decided to finally get off their ass and give us a moratorium. We're not particularly happy with it because we don't think it's as strong as it ought to be, and it may be
yeah.
that when you get back we should crank up a little something whereby you can come out and say I want this issue cleanly understood, that we're not only for freezing things in place but
for turning it back where they've gone
turning
too
it
far.
Back where they've gone too far.
That's right.
Exactly. That's the issue.
That's right. I'm against busing. I'm against forced housing.
That's right. That's the issue that we've got to get across clearly, and I will have some work done on that while you're away, so that maybe
right.
we can, when you get back, really hit that very hard. My own feeling, Mr. President, I'm coming on this very hard right at the moment, that this issue properly exploited in the proper areas absolutely can turn an election. You take the whole state of Illinois, if you just take one area where busing is as critical as it is, and of course, one big thing is to keep Wallace off that ballot. I just hope the hell he, I don't wish him any ill, but I hope he isn't going to be up and around this year, because those are our votes, I'm convinced of it.
Yeah, I don't know. I suppose this wheelchair thing, Chuck, will obsess them all, and they'll want to do it, but
maybe
he's a damn fool to do it. I mean, it's all he's going to do is to, frankly, help his enemies.
Well, that's right. Mitchell and I are going to give a little thought to how we might.
Incidentally, I'm sure, when I say I'm sure, without knowing anything, but there are press reports indicating paralysis are correct.
Oh, I'm sure of it. And
you know, what I mean is it,
right.
it's grim.
I think it is. And when they said this morning 4 to 6 weeks, that just doesn't jive with Lukash, who says 3 to 6 months before he's going to be able to do a damn thing. But I don't know, maybe you've got more current from Lukash. That's what I had from him the last time I talked to him.
No, it is.
You talked to him
at least 3 months. At least three.
Well, then he isn't going to go. Of course, the other thing, Mr. President, is that in order to get votes, he has to campaign. He doesn't get them without campaigning. He's got to go in and whip up those crowds. And
well, I don't know. He's always got 12% in the polls before he ever started campaigning, Chuck.
Yeah, that's true.
So?
That's true. Well,
now, let's face it. There's,
well,
it just means that we've got to do our best. That's all. But
well,
be that as it may, I must say that it's got to shaken the Democrats a little, isn't it? What are they saying, Chuck?
Oh, well, the word, I'm going to be meeting at noon today with all of the Teamster fellows. They're political people from all over the country. But Fitzsimmons told me last night, you know, they're a pretty good barometer. You know, they keep a close feel on the political pulse. The reaction yesterday all across the country in the Democratic ranks is that Humphrey just had his Waterloo in Michigan.
I saw one of the press things indicated that.
Yeah, they'll have to start playing.
How are the television jackasses playing it? Same way?
Same way, yes. The stuff last night was, ABC Donaldson was on saying that terrible black eye for Humphrey. He had the whole damn state party behind him. He had the entire labor establishment except Woodcock personally, but he had the UAW locals all working for him.
And he got?
And he got 17% of the vote, or 18, whatever, 17, I guess. Which is a...
Incidentally, is the general feeling, coming back to less important but things for them, but more important for us, is a general feeling that that my call to her, sending the doctor out, offering Walter Reed, going across the street and so forth, and, of course, checking daily, is that about the right level with him, don't you think?
Yes, sir. I do, Mr. President. I wouldn't do more. You might consider...
Going out to see him.
No, I wouldn't do that tomorrow. Not before this trip. Maybe when you come back, if he's...
Harry Dent's strongly pushing it.
Is he for you to go see him?
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking of you...
I wasn't going to go out. I was just going to stop the helicopter. I understand. Yeah, and I'm not even breathing as anybody. I have considered stopping the helicopter on the way and just dropping in and wishing you well before I leave. Figuring he might die while I'm there.
Saturday morning?
No, Friday. I'm coming down from Camp David.
I see. I follow. Well, that's a possibility.
But with no press. See, well, the press will be there, but I wouldn't build it up at all.
That's not a bad.
See, fly from Camp David, get on the helicopter,
yep,
and just drop down in the parking lot and drive over and see him. Just and then.
That would make some sense, I think.
Everything should be surprise. Nothing should be contrived.
Totally surprise.
But you think up to this point we've done it right, huh?
Up to this point you've done it exactly right, and you haven't. I think that Humphrey wrecked much too fast. I think if you were to do it as a surprise drop in on the way down from Camp David in the morning, that would make some sense. Yes.
I don't want to appear to be just sucking around him. That's
no. What I was going to propose to you was that you call him because he's now up and around and
mm-hmm,
conscious and.
Well, I might just that might be the second thing is to just call on the telephone. And
that's
say,
the alternative would be to call him personally.
Maybe the best thing to do is.
Well, you could say that I'd like very much to get out and see you, and I will.
I could just say that the doctors figured that it would be better not to.
Yeah, and a call is good, Mr. President. And would be publicized that you called him and expressed your concern for him. You talked to Mrs. Wallace the night of the incident, and that may be just as good as a drop-in. Come to
we'll talk the thing over. Yeah,
look a little less spectacular, perhaps, but
right.
Yeah, I would think that
right.
It, one or the other, but I maybe the call is maybe the call in some ways is better because right now you're immersed in getting ready for the Soviet Union.
That's the truth.
These are major items that you've got on your mind. And
well, it wouldn't take any time. I mean, it would just be dropping in and then going on in. See, in other words, it wouldn't. But anyway, we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see.
It's a good thought to make some gesture before you leave. But up until now, I think you're absolutely correctly postured. I think it would have been a horrible mistake to go out there.
Oh, no, that's right.
Yeah, before
that. And also, however, I'm glad that I didn't stay battened down in the White House. I mean,
exactly.
You know, that was the right thing to do. I don't care what people fear.
Well, the only negative you got was Goldwater, who said.
He's always said that.
Yeah, he said the president shouldn't get out in the crowds, and he's got to think of the country. And
sure, that's all right. A lot of people think, by golly, right? It's a good thing he did.
Yeah, your closest supporters are the ones who get the most sensitive about that.
Well,
and,
what the hell? Then they'll get Agnew, and he's closer to them than I am. So what the hell?
But you did it just right, and it calmed the country. And Humphrey praised you for it. I was amazed. play on the three networks.
Isn't that surprising?
Well, and it was great footage. It was marvelous footage because that crowd was very enthusiastic and very supportive. I mean, it was a good scene for people to see.
Incidentally, haven't some of your people been surprised to find that about the other shootings we've had in our time?
Yes, we've done the research on that, and it's
really quite something.
Yes, it is. It really is, and it's the line that Kilpatrick is taking is that, well, this is the price of a free society. We don't have a closed society. We have freedom, and that means that political leaders, particularly those who, for any number of reasons, may be
particularly there are nuts running around. We don't when we have somebody. This fellow would have been locked up in another country as being a moron.
That's right.
Now, we say let nuts run around. When you let nuts run around, also it's the price of permissiveness. Oswald would have been in a jail in another country.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think a little of that.
So would this fellow.
Sure, he'd been out threatening people before.
I was delighted to see that the FBI found some McGovern literature in his car.
They did?
Yes, sir. And that was in this morning's press accounts. In fact, I think the Post article about the fellow mentioned it. I know the Times. I'm not sure about the Times, but the Wires had it quite well. But among the stuff they found in his car were Wallace posters, but they also found some McGovern literature, which I think is delightful. And
you know, for your information, it will probably be publicized, but I've just spent an hour and a half with Debrinen here. He's going back this afternoon, and everything's on.
Excellent. Oh, that's going to...
Let those bastards revel in that a little bit.
Yeah, I don't suppose you read the Post editorials.
Never will.
But I read the lead one this morning where they said, well, we have to admit that thus far all the consequences that we said would happen haven't. They caveated it by saying thus far.
Thus far, but they might later, yeah.
Sure. Well,
hopefully.
Exactly. It was written in the tone of, well, it hasn't happened yet, but we kind of hope that it's all going to fall apart. But they did admit it. At least to a degree. We're going to shove this down their throats this weekend. I'm going to have a ball with this one.
Particularly, didn't you find that interesting, though, their World War III confrontation, risk of peace, the whole Nixon generation of peace?
Oh, huh? The statements are incredible.
Right?
Statements are incredible. Risking nuclear holocaust. We've got a whole compilation of them. Bob is going to, Alderman's going to have them on the plane so that he can stick it in occasionally to the reporters who are traveling. And we'll be shoving it into them back here once you're underway, and make them squeal a little bit. It's just the kind of thing that, it's the kind of thing they hate most, is to have their own predictions shoved back down their throats.
Good.
I was pleased to notice this morning that Carl Albert has split with the Doves in the House again, and now said that he won't support anything without a ceasefire. The prognosis on this,
great.
Yeah, that's marvelous. That Boggs and Albert together, so that there's a little hardening up going on in the House. There's a good.
I think I ought to call Carl and thank him for that.
Well, you'll see him tomorrow, and I think maybe when you see him at 4 o'clock, you ought to say that you.
I could even call him and say I appreciate what he said.
Yeah, you could.
But the ceasefire that strengthens our hand as we go to the summit. I think I'll do that.
That's not a bad thought at all.
Because I talked to both Griffin and Byrd yesterday, so I might as well give Carl a call.
Well, he would, I'm sure he would appreciate that. Let me check exactly what he said. I'm sure I have it.
Yeah.
Well, I've got the thrust of it correct, but he was...
But he did come out for a ceasefire.
Yes, he said that, I don't have it right here. What he said, Albert and Boggs split with the Democratic majority on foreign affairs, saying that they preferred the Byrd resolution and would support a ceasefire, which, as you know, the House Foreign Affairs Committee, the Doves, had come out with something very much like Fulbright had in the Senate. And Albert and Boggs both said that they wanted the Byrd resolution added to whatever is done in the House. Now, what the Byrd resolution does is, to kill the resolution altogether, because the extreme Doves will not support it with the Byrd resolution.
Right.
God, they're in an incredibly bad political position. I've talked this morning to the two campaign committees and said, if your candidates out there in the field ought to just zing any incumbent Democrat for voting against a ceasefire. What does he want to do? Continue the war? Continue the killing?
Well, the point is, it's just, in the one hand, they say peace for the United States. United States, and we're saying peace for Indochina.
That's right.
Why not?
That's right.
Stop the killing.
That's right. They're in a very tough position. I think our fellows, we don't see the impact of this stuff back here, but it hits at home. You know, I got all of the, it hits out in the areas when we do something like this. I got all of Joe Vassiti's press clippings today from all over the country over the last 10 days. God, they're fantastic. He's calling the Democrats traitors, and they're playing into the hands of the communists, and you know, he'll maybe be in the Wichita one night and in the Boise the next night, and getting a hell of a bang out of it, so that while we don't always see the impact here in Washington, getting this done out across the country, it erodes them, and personally, I think that's the reason they're being quiet. I also think it's the reason that guys like Albert and Boggs smell the political winds and decide to harden up a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going on around the country, Mr. President. Both houses of the South Carolina legislature passed resolutions supporting your Vietnam policies yesterday, and we are now getting some of this effort is going on. We're getting some of the city councils and local officials who are issuing statements, and it's the momentum has held up very well. I think you don't see it as much in the national press as it's reflected in all the little things that are happening around.
It's good.
And the anti-war people are not really making much impact. They're going to try to make their big push Saturday and Sunday here, but the reports are that they're not generating much enthusiasm. Pete Brennan's got a thing going in New York that's just great with the Teamsters. They're taking around every construction site. They're putting up these great big posters, which they had printed, several thousand of them, which say support the president to end the war. That's all it says.
Right.
And this is good. We have some of this going with us. TV last night gave us some very good footage from Vietnam, I must say.
Really?
Yeah, I'm surprised. I don't quite understand what the networks are, what their game is.
Well, right now, though, it's pretty hard not to have good, because you may have some bad tomorrow, because those bastards are going to have a high point tomorrow, you know, again, because
right.
of Ho Chi Minh's birthday, but that's all right, too.
But Jesus, last night they had the coverage on, I had some of it rerun this morning. They had the carrier pilots who were coming back, and they were very upbeat, and
they say great
morale, and they said, well, we want to, we're all behind what the president is doing, and this finally is going to get our POWs back, and this is what we wanted to do, and we're really hitting them where it hurts, and it's working, and high morale.
Good.
And U.S. pilots, one after another, they were interviewing, saying we're really hurting them psychologically, and we're hurting them militarily.
Good.
And we're only hitting supply areas, and it was very, very upbeat. And then they had some footage of the Arvin airborne moving last night, and that was damn good. Excellent footage.
They look like good troops, huh?
They really do. They look like damn good troops.
Mm-hmm.
CBS said that they were the crack troops, but they were. They looked it. They looked damn good. So I think I really think the public watching this, Mr. President, and watching what you have done, this is what the politicians are reflecting. It's just not about to, we couldn't find it. We couldn't find anybody yesterday that we could.
Right now, the main thing is keep the heat on them.
Oh, we're.
I mean. I'm speaking now of what we're going to do. We're going to continue to bomb those bastards every day I'm in Moscow.
Well,
every day.
I think what's coming through is that there's beginning to be a feeling that you're really putting the squeeze on them. There were some columns yesterday that made the point that Hanoi is really, really beginning to feel the pressure and that they're really squeezed hard. And I think that's what the American people want. Senlinger tells me that he's getting over 40% of the people saying, pour in whatever is necessary. Just go all out and do it.
Good.
And that is the mood. This is for one time. I think we kind of overran the critics, and they didn't get a chance to build. And I think now the politicians are seeing that the public reaction around the country is with you. That gives you a great deal of freedom to keep the heat on the bastards over there.
Harris thinks the same thing, doesn't he?
Yes, Harris is. He's very upbeat. Of course, he's just thrilled that you has been aiming for in terms of the, the Soviets is going to come to pass and probably wouldn't have otherwise. You know, just,
it's helped.
If it has. I think, though, I'd love to get to the kind of stuff Cardinal Kroll was talking about out into the press. It would be, you know, maybe get some people interviewing him because it's a fine analysis, you know, that from someone who understands the
We don't want to do that until after the Soviet summit because we don't want to have them feel that they back down. We're going to let them because we've got to say, look, we're doing it for our mutual interests. We're not going to let one small country poison the relations between two large countries. That's the line I've taken with the Soviet, and I just take it cold turkey, and they understand that.
That's a damn good line. But I think when you get back, this is when we should really...
Really ream them.
Really ream them and really build the image of the enormous changes that you've brought about in the world in these 3.5 years, opening the dialogue with China, the new era with the Soviets of the major accomplishments that you've made, the ending of American involvement in Vietnam, and the success to date of keeping the South Vietnamese free. It's a hell of a powerful theme. Harris, of course, feels that we should run on two issues. He said you should run on the tremendous leadership in the world that the president, the enormous accomplishments of changing the whole nature of the world, really, in probably the most dramatic...
World leader.
The most dramatic changes ever made in a 3.5 year period by any president ever.
Well, and the most dramatic made since World War II.
Right, and that's the most important line. And then he thinks we should take issues like busing and just cut hell out of them.